Get ready for this.
Wow, I am blown away by the response I've been getting on Facebook.
Welcome to a brand new episode of
the Upstate's Farmers Market Podcast.
The following program is for adult audiences only.
You are listening to...
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on the Farmers Market Podcast.
Relax and enjoy.
We are one of the few tea-growing farms in the United States.
Hi, this is Chris Thurman from BioWay Farm.
Hi, this is Kristen with Earth and Organic.
Hi, this is Mark Jones from Cedar Falls Farm.
Thanks for listening. And now your host.
Great day, everybody. My name is Stefan, and you're listening to the Farmers Market Podcast, the show that talks to farmers, homesteaders, beekeepers, craft makers, and much, much more right here in the upstate of South Carolina. We keep it fresh. We keep it local. Here we talk about all things farmers market related. Be sure to subscribe to the show. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, and you can become a supporter of SCAFarms.com. It's the home base for my farm online and the Farmers Market Podcast. Please share with all your friends on Facebook and other social channels, and let me know if there's a local farmer that you would like to hear on the show. Now, today's guest, he is the owner of one of only a handful of commercial tea growers in the United States. He's a published author, speaker, and a surgical nurse by trade. And he is also one of the co-founders of Hydro Missions International, an organization helping to provide clean water to people across the world. Welcome to the show, the Table Rock Tea Company's very own Steve Lorch.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so glad we're able to talk and talk a little bit about not only you, but talk about your farm. Now, you can find Steve and the Table Rock Tea Company at tablerocktea.com and on Facebook at Table Rock Tea Company. Now tell me, Steve, what is the Table Rock Tea Company for those who don't know, and what is happening right now on the farm?
Well, Table Rock Tea Company is a small 17-acre farm, and just like it says, we grow tea here. We're right at the base of Table Rock Mountain in upstate South Carolina in Pickens. And we are one of just a handful of commercial growers that are up and coming in the United States. So we actually grow, process, and sell our tea right here on the farm.
Now, what are some of the most popular products on the farm?
Well, obviously the tea, but from the same plant, we make green tea, black tea, and oolong tea. And I would have to say that our oolong tea is probably the most popular. Last year, that sold out in about 36 hours. So it's something that goes pretty quick. We also make a very unique green tea called Winterleaf, which is a cold harvest green tea unlike anything in the industry.
Wow. Now, I have a little bit of knowledge about tea farms, not much, because obviously you're only one in a handful in the United States. But from my understanding, most tea farms are based out of India. Is that correct?
Well, China, of course, India, and believe it or not, Kenya, which is kind of our tradition. That's where we first learned of tea. Kenya is responsible for 20% of the world's tea.
So it's very limited in the U.S. So how in the world did you get started? I think you told me a little bit of the story, but maybe you could share with our listeners exactly how Steve got started in tea.
Sure. Well, we were, of course, the founders of Hydro Missions International, which does water projects all over the world. We ran that organization for about 10 years, and it took us to 30 different countries. One of those countries was Kenya, and we did a water well project in 2006 in Kenya in the tea region there. And that's where we were introduced to tea. So I came home. We were living just outside of Greenville in Malden, South Carolina at the time. And I bought a little tea plant online, stuck it in the ground, didn't think anything of it. And then when we bought our farm out here in Pickens, we wanted to do a hedgerow, but we wanted to make it dual purpose, so just not just ornamental. And so we said, well, why don't we grow tea? So We did, and by the time we figured out we needed about 500 plants to do it, we said, well, how much does this stuff make in a year, and why don't we just start a tea company? And that's how we started.
Well, okay, so how many cups of tea did you get from the one? I mean, so I'm thinking you had to multiply pretty fast in order to make a business.
Well, a tea company really takes 10 years to get started, to really get established. And we're really, commercially speaking, entering our fifth year. So we're really right on track. But there was a lot of R&D ahead of that time. But in general, one mature tea plant will produce about 1/4 pound of finished product per year. So that's roughly 2 boxes of tea.
Wow. So you really have to have a lot if you're going to be doing it commercially.
Yeah, we plant at densities between 4,000 and 5,000 plants per acre.
Wow. Now, obviously you've got, it's the Table Rock Tea Company for a reason. Tell everybody where you're located.
Yeah. So we are located right along, scenic Highway 11, about 1.5 miles from Table Rock State Park. In fact, you can see the mountain right from our backyard.
And for those who don't know, if you've never traveled Highway 11, it's one of the premier, driving highways that are just, it's right in our backyard. It's a great little drive, and you get to see a lot of the foothills and the mountains. I mean, you get it all right there on that highway.
Definitely. In fact, we are 1/4 mile, probably not even that. It's really our neighbor is the biggest the most photographed place in the entire upstate of South Carolina.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned the Hydro Missions, and when you guys were in Kenya, explain to folks a little bit about your background, because obviously you didn't grow up being a tea farmer. Give people a little bit about what you did prior to starting the company.
Sure. Wow. That's a strange question. I'll try to keep it short.
I know.
Yeah, so by trade, I'm a surgical nurse. I've been an RN since 1994, pretty much my entire career in the operating room. I started out in Pennsylvania and grew up in Philadelphia. We moved down here in 1997, and I worked at Shriners Hospital for about 18 years before now working at a local hospital in Pickens. So I've always, since 1997, worked part-time in medicine because we wanted to start all these other things. And so during that time, we started Hydro Missions. I wrote several books, movie script, different kind of things, started a few businesses. And so we're kind of serial entrepreneurs. The tea company, like I said, started through our exposure in Kenya, and it just seemed like a natural fit. Even though this is another entrepreneurial venture, it's definitely the longest vision, so to speak. Our goal in the next 30 years is to have upstate South Carolina around Table Rock known as Tea Country. That's what we want to do. We know that they did that in Napa Valley for wine. Somebody planted the first vineyards there, and we're going to do that with tea here.
Wow. And tea, I mean, the tea farm is obviously thriving. You mentioned something about expansion. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're able to expand right now about 1 to 2 acres per year here on our farm. But we have also opened up things to what we call the Table Rock Tea Consortium, which is something that we started this year. And that's folks that are within about 1 hour drive from our processing facility here on the farm. Buy plants, they grow the plants, they own the plants, they own their land, and then when it's ready to harvest, we'll buy the leaves back from them. So that's a way that we can expand without us having to buy all kinds of land and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and you're teaching people essentially how to grow, and that is just a wonderful program in and of itself. Now, you mentioned several things that I didn't know about, and that was, I know you've written several books. What are the titles of the books?
Yeah, so I wrote two books on theology. One is titled Welcome Home. The other is titled You Are the Church. And then I wrote a book on how to grow and make tea in the continental United States. So that's actually the first book of its kind specific to the continental U.S., and I give lectures across the country on it.
And we'll have some of the links in the show notes for folks who want to follow up on that. And you also mentioned, did you say a screenplay?
I did. I can't
tell me a little bit. Oh, it's top secret stuff.
It actually is. It's slated for filming in 2019. So it's kind of a big epic movie along the lines of Gladiator.
Wow. Now that's amazing. Now how did, oh my gosh, there's so much in your short life. So you went from working in operating rooms to basically writing books to, I mean, like you said, you're a serial entrepreneur. I mean, how did all of those things prepare you for what you're doing now?
Yeah, well, when I do lecture on entrepreneurialism, I always say that nothing is wasted, that everything dovetails together. There are experiences and things that we've done that fit perfectly within what we're doing now. Especially on the machinery side, there are things that we were exposed to in other industries. We had a soap company for a while, and so we learned how to do basically micro factories and things like that, which now we have to do because there's really no tea industry in the United States. So we have to do a lot of modification and fabrication of our own equipment and things like that. So everything dovetails together from your experiences, and that's the case with us.
Wow. Now, again, some of the products that you guys have right now and some of the services you offer, and you can go ahead and mention the agro-tourism that I think you're one of probably the leading farms that is really spearheading this whole movement here in the upstate. But go ahead and explain for some of our listeners what you've got at the farm right now.
Sure. So agro-tourism is a big part of our business, and we have been giving tours pretty much nonstop all year round. Just by word of mouth right now, we are still a very small company. And given our situation right on Highway 11, right near the park, we have to be a little bit cautious about how much signage we put out because the park actually last year got 400,000 visitors to the park. Of those, of the direction, 300,000 of them go right past our farm. So as soon as we end up building a cafe and visitor center and put signage out, I'm pretty sure we're going to see 100,000 people the first year we do that. So we are certainly not ready for that capacity. So that's why you don't see signs out and that kind of stuff. But just by word of mouth, we've given tours to almost 1,000 people this year already, just by word of mouth.
And I have a feeling there's going to be more after the show is released. Now, tell me some of the products that you guys have on site. Now, you have mentioned, obviously, you wouldn't be a part of the Farmers Market podcast if you weren't a part of the Farmers Markets. List some of the ones that you've been at and then what you currently have available on site, because I think that's really, because of the agro-tourism that you're doing, that's really your focus as a business, correct?
Correct. We actually pulled back a little from going to markets. We still love and support those, but given that it's just my wife and I right now, I think what we're going to do is focus on the agritourism part until we eventually hire some folks to actually then take our T-Mobile to the markets again. But our favorite markets are Traveler's Rest. We of course, go there. I believe that they're going to start a market soon in Pickens, which, of course, is our local market. So we certainly want to support them as well. But we've been up to Landrum as well. And we sponsor a lot of events. So we do bring the T-Mobile there. So we sponsor 5Ks and mountain bike races and things like that throughout the upstate.
For two people to be doing as much as you guys do, it is an amazing thing. It's kind of like what you said earlier about not wasting anything. I mean, you're not wasting any time. You're getting a lot of stuff done.
We don't sleep and we don't have kids, so that works.
Well, tell our listeners, you've got a special offer for them to try some of your products. And what is that?
Yeah, so if you go to our website, which is tablerocktea.com, and we have a web store there. If you check out using the coupon code SCA Farms, that's SCAFARMS, we'll give you 10% off your first order. So just go to the website, use the coupon code SCA Farms at checkout.
Oh, now, you know, we definitely appreciate that for our listeners. They're going to love it. I have a feeling there's going to be quite a few orders, especially from me. I've had your tea. I will make rave reviews about it. That's for sure. Tell me a little bit about the new initiative that you're starting to embark on.
The Good Faith Grown initiative is essentially an honesty and labeling program, we like to call it. We came across that when we would go to farmers markets and we'd be asked the question, are you certified organic? And for us, that was something that was prohibitive in a lot of ways, mostly because of cost and a lot of hoops to jump through. But as we've gone to different farmers markets and talked to local producers, we found that they were experiencing the same thing. And what they were having a hard time with was taking so much time at the point of sale explaining the reason why they were not certified organic. And so we decided that we needed to come up with a solution. So we came up with Good Faith Grown, and that is a collective of farmers who basically adhere to honesty and labeling. So you can go to goodfaithgrown.com, click on a grower's profile, and it'll show what they use, when they use, and why. And we found that our customers really like that because they just want to know that they're doing their due diligence and they understand the cost prohibitive nature of certified organic. So they really appreciate it.
And you have something amazing going on right now and until the end of 2018, and that is for farmers to be able to take advantage. And what is that again?
Yeah, so typically Good Faith Grown, to become a member, it's $20 per year. But we really want to seed the business, I suppose, or populate the list. So we are offering a $20 lifetime membership that is good if you sign up from now until the first of 2019. So if you get in on it now, $20 and you're a lifetime member.
Yeah, that's an amazing initiative for local farmers to be able to take advantage of. I know going even into some of the smaller farmers markets, and I've been asked, when I'm selling my lettuce, people ask me, is it organic? Now, there's a cap for when you can say it's organic and then when you have to be certified organic.
Yep.
And I believe it's if you make less than $5,000 a year, you can say it. So if you're starting out, it's not that big a deal. But as soon as you hit that crest, now it becomes a liability if you're not certified. And it is very, very intensive to stay certified every year and to be able to have that money up front in order to do that. And it's just not feasible for a lot of farms, wouldn't you say, Steve?
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing is that Good Faith Grown is for folks that maybe they don't even want to be certified organic. For example, a honey producer. There are no certified organic honeys because no one can control where their bees fly. And bees fly within a 5-mile radius. So you don't see certified organic honey, but you can see Good Faith Grown honey. If you talk to peach farmers, they'll tell you that they have to use things from time to time. But every farmer that we know tries to do the best they can to use as little as possible. And so so with that, they can still use the Good Faith Grown label because they're able to tell their customers what they use, when they use, and why.
No, that's why I like this program. I like this program because you have a minute or two when you're talking to a customer at a farmer's market. And you can say you're organic and you can say, you know, you're not organic. But the reality of it is people just want to know that you're doing the best to give them the most nutritious and the most healthy food you could possibly give them without the pesticides and without all this. But they just want to know. And if they don't want to buy from you because you're using a pesticide, so be it. If they want to buy from you because you're not, that's great, too. But I love the idea that you're doing something that's different, that isn't costly to the farmer. It gives them an outlet to be able to say, you don't have to take my word for it. These guys, I'm a part of this, and this is what we're all doing because we want you to know how we're growing your food and our food.
That's a great way to put it.
Now, there's a lot of stuff you've done, and, you know, you've had a lot of life experience, but we're going to dig a little deeper and find out a little bit more about you, Steve. Can you tell our listeners, like, one or two things that you've learned about life in general that you would like to share? Maybe it was a lesson or something you learned after a challenge or a hardship, or maybe it's about running the business, or maybe something that life just threw at you and it was like a big takeaway for you.
That's a great question. For us here, everything truly is about our faith. That's a very important thing. And I believe that is tested almost every day when you're a farmer. I have been in medicine for going on 25 years now. I've seen a lot of life. I've seen a lot of death. And I can say that truly for us, the only one that can bring life is God. So that is definitely something that we adhere to here on the farm. We pray a lot. We always say we plant and pray. And so that's a big part of our life. But I think the biggest thing, too, is just treat others the way you would want to be treated. That we always like to welcome guests to the farm, and we always like to let them leave knowing that they're someone special, you know, that we spend the time with them and treat them as if they are our number one VIP customer. And I think that's important in any business.
And if folks need and want to come and visit the farm or want to just get in touch with you, what's the best way they can do that?
Best way you can do that is go to our website. Our phone numbers are there. Jennifer schedules tours. That's something that a lot of folks do. So call her. If you call me, I'll just tell you to call her. Any kind of the technical stuff or press releases, things like that, you can certainly call me. But to schedule a tour, just call Jennifer, and that number is on the website.
Awesome. Well, Steve, it has been a pleasure. I want to thank you and thank you for sharing the Table Rock Tea Company with us.
Thank you very much.
Be sure to check them out online and share this episode with everybody you know. Your support as a listener is key. And most importantly, support your local farms and farmers. Until the next time, my name is Stefan, and you've been listening to the Farmers Market Podcast. Keep it fresh, keep it local.
If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. And while you're there, please leave us a rating and review.